Welcome to Friday Night Party Line. I'm your host, Victor Frost, and tonight we've got a full house. How exciting is that? Starting off in the order of which their tiny little icons appear on the screen, we've got our awesome Australian. We got Cherba. Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm always first, no matter what order we put it in. I don't know why this is.
I don't control the order. All right, you know what? Next episode, I'll do you last, okay? I'll have you on the list and it'll be done last, okay?
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. Next, we have a good friend of the show, Erin, from her YouTube channel, Erin Charisse. Erin.
Hello.
She has unfortunately been unable to activate her lower third, so she has manufactured one for our convenience. Nelson's on the show, of course. Hey, Nelson.
I love and both hate JavaScript
and grammar. I think everybody does. And we have Thade, who's back on the show. Hey, Thade.
I'm dying.
Thade is suffering from a rather severe case of bone-itis. and I am, of course, your happy host, Victor Frost. So let's get moving with the topics tonight. We got a whole bunch of them, and we think we should start with one that is kind of a social event for geek things that is more in terms of the media which we consume. South by Southwest, big event, huge one. I hope to someday attend. Was quite an event this year. It had speakers like Edward Snowden, who was brought in via satellite and who espoused on the virtues of privacy, and there was a whole bunch of him, and I think it was who's the WikiLeaks guy? I can't remember his name.
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange. I believe Julian Assange was also brought in to do another satellited bit. And they were both espousing on the importance of privacy, but there were also workshops on squeezing the most information out of users. And obviously, these are kind of opposing ideas. And for people who are attending both of those, it's a bit of hypocrisy in play. Is there a balance that can be struck between these two positions at all? Nelson, you are a web guy. You are a web developer. You are ensconced.
Yes. So there's an interesting thing. Whenever people talk about encryption among developers just say, "Oh, just use PGP. It's so easy." Like, why aren't you encrypting all your emails? Why aren't you encrypting all your chats if you actually care about privacy? But the thing is, it's really, really sucky. Like, there is no way for me to describe how unintuitively bad every interface for using these kind of tools is. I have a plug in a shameless fashion that I will make. There is a website, keybase.io, that is trying to make it less sucky. Basically, one of the big problems with getting people to actually use encryption has been, not only is it hard to set up and to know when things are working and to use them, but they always rely on, for lack of a better term, a web of trust. And a lot of the ways that this happens is you have your private key, right, that you can use to encrypt things that only your public key can decrypt, and vice versa. Right. So if people use your public key to encrypt something and send it to you, only you can decrypt it, right?
Yeah.
So how do you get someone's public key? Like, it's a great system. It works. If you can install it and get it set up, it's great.
A postcard.
But how do you get someone's public key? And there are key servers, which no one knows about, except, like, 50-year-old Unix Santas.
Hey, I resemble that.
No, it's... And 50-year-old Unix Santas generally are totally cool with using encryption, and it's great. But no non-technical person is ever going to know or care or use the server. So what I found, this startup that's keybase.io, what they're doing is basically making a social network, like, style wrapper around what is effectively just a key server.
Clever. So
you get an invite, you log in, you go through the steps, it tells you how to generate all these keys and how to install stuff and whatever, and then you basically have your profile with your picture and your username and your Twitter and GitHub accounts and more there they'll add probably to basically verify that you are who you say you are.
Say the name of the service one more time. I'm trying to look at it.
Keybase.io. I don't want to make this an infomercial.
No.
We'll talk about commercials more later.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but basically the idea is, yeah, make it easy to use.
Okay, so now I kind of have to ask the question, what does this have to do with what I was talking about?
So,
I forgot what you were talking about.
One of the big things with privacy and with the kind of privacy that is espoused by the Snowdens and the Assanges, Assange?
I think it'd be Assange.
Assange. Private citizens should be able to not be spied on by governments. And the kind of corollary is private citizens should not be spied on by anyone they don't want to be spied on, including hackers or governments or corporations or any of that stuff.
Right.
This, using public key cryptography, is basically the only way to ever make that happen, ever, until we get quantum computers. So that's why it's frustrating from a technical, from a techie point of view, where it's like, there are these tools already available, but they're so bad that no one uses them. Well, and yet people always complain about, the death of privacy.
Well, it wasn't so much the actual, privacy from, ooh, you're reading my phone messages kind of thing that is the hypocritic part of it, is that, they were saying that users... It's in one part of the event, it's saying users have absolute control of their data and nobody should be taking data about users without them knowing about it. And then on the other hand, it's companies saying, here's how to squeeze the most analytics data out of your user base to be able to profile them and market them more effectively.
It's almost as if people had different opinions or something.
If I may get a little ranty for a second.
Have I ever stopped you before?
Please do.
We are currently living in the 90s cyberpunk dystopia. But because change has come so gradually, it is banal to us. Much like test tube babies are banal to us now. Test tube baby, whatever. We are in not a war exactly, I don't like using that word, but we are in a conflict with both our governments and foreign governments, with hackers that want to, disrupt our daily lives, and with the corporations that we entrust with our data. Because they're, by and large, their goals are not our goals.
Right.
Like, Facebook's goals are not to keep my privacy safe. Keeping my privacy safe to a certain extent definitely helps them, and, they need to manage their public perception and things like that, and sometimes there are developers who, will sacrifice profit for doing the right thing, sometimes. But
really?
By and large...
Just a moment, Aaron. Just a moment, Nelson. Aaron, you do not have to hold that up the entire time.
I was going to put it down eventually, once I'd said something of substance.
what's an episode of Friday Night Party Line without a visual gag?
Generally improved, I'd say.
Oh. But anyways, Nelson, do go on, yeah.
Yeah, by and large... The people that say, hey, we need personal privacy, and the people that say, hey, we need to get all of our users' data, are not generally the same people, although there is an interesting hypocrisy between the pro-privacy stance of something like WikiLeaks and the fact of just what they do, which is, you know, a very anti-privacy, like, actions. and also, honestly, between Assange's own kind of weirdly paranoid privacy and the things that they do. Speaking of the NSA, though, and Snowden and such, you know what I would really like to see leaked? And it wouldn't have that big of an effect on the world, but it would be a great win for the kind of anti-NSA, you know, coalition.
Pray tell.
The terrorist watch list and the terrorist no-fly list. Because you cannot find out if you are on the terrorist no-fly list or not.
I think in the last 7 years, one person has gotten off the no-fly list.
Right.
That would be amazing if someone was just like, all right, here's the entire text of the no-fly list. See if you're on it.
Search it with Google.
I think it would be cool.
I think it would be full of made-up names like Phil McCracken.
Joey Jojo Shabadoo.
Right.
Fucking got all sorts of vile terrorists like Ibeen Fartin.
Right. Huge erection.
Oh, I've heard about him. He was a very big player with the IRA.
He's seen some
shit.
He was
a hardened criminal. Oh, Jesus. The direction of the show thing.
How long did it take us to go from privacy to erections?
It took us exactly 10 minutes.
Less time than usual.
10 minutes.
Entirely too long.
That's all it took. Just 10 minutes to get us from there to here. So,
but not bad. It usually takes about 10 minutes to get from privacy to erections.
Oh. But anyway, I don't actually think that South by Southwest is hypocritical for having these two very opposing talks any more than, say, I don't know, PAX would be hypocritical for having a panel about how we need more women in games and then having a panel about how to make your cosplay sexy or something, because I'm making that second
panel. Yeah, that's kind of how I thought about it.
The event does not actually control the content of the panels. They say yes or no. They don't actually say you can and can't do this in the panel. You must say this. You mustn't say this sort of thing. Right. Aside from a very general set of rules where, you know, they're not going to have, you know, no racist content in panels, please. Right.
Yeah, like the only wrinkle I saw in that really was the fact that Snowden and whatnot were like guests of honor. So you kind of sort of assume by association that they kind of, if not endorse this person, they at least hold them in high esteem. Mm. So considering the other half of the convention is also in similarly high esteem, that's probably where that comes from. Nonetheless, I still don't think it matters that much. It's still not much different than saying, having an Otakon panel where on one end of the convention you have the Toho Rocks panel and the other side you have the Daimoe Dai panel.
Wow. I have no idea what that means.
Hey, Victor, you totally know what that means.
Don't pretend.
Wait, what was the second one?
I only sort of know what it means.
What's Toho? I don't know what
Toho is. The Omega of Moe, I guess I would call it.
Oh,
it is the Alpha and the Omega of Moe.
Yes,
sure.
If someone's into Toho, it's pretty safe to assume that they're into some other kind of icky things. Possibly.
And Moe is like Rim and Scott's relationship, right?
Yes. Like Hugh Kune.
That thread needs to come back up.
I still kind of want to make a sequel to the R. Rimmon Scott gay movie at some point, but I don't think I have time to go through all this podcast.
Wait, they still
make podcasts?
I didn't know. You mean they haven't disappeared up their own assholes at this point?
Oh.
But Aaron, I liked your differentiating between seeing the guest of honor as someone that South By is endorsing versus just respecting. Because I remember DEF CON, the hacker convention, had the head of the NSA there to do a keynote thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like a lot of times people merge those two ideas and think that, oh, if, you know, some convention wants someone to speak, they're automatically endorsing them.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
But you can't blame people for assuming so, because it is a very big thing.
Yeah.
Right. Going to South by Southwest gets you on the no-fly list.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, let's, unless there's anything to add, which it doesn't seem to be. No? Okay, good. We're going to move along. Just a little bit of news. Nothing too important. Just, you know, proof of the Big Bang, bitches!
Yeah!
Whoa.
Lost my headphones.
Who had money riding on that one?
Yeah. Oh, where'd Chirba go?
He went off to make sure that the Big Bang was still going to happen.
Yeah. It's okay.
I would make a
fine.
Doctor Who reference, but I refuse to stoop to that level.
Oh, it reminds me of
Aaron is nerd elite.
she's pretty up there.
Yes. In the Ken Ham Bill Nye debate, Ken Ham made a point multiple times to an irritating extent that there was some kind of difference between observable science and historic science.
You know,
and I think this kind of blows that out of the water. I mean, besides it already being blown out of the water by a basic knowledge of science.
You know what makes me mad? I know who Ken Ham is. I shouldn't know who that jackass is. I shouldn't know anything about him.
I didn't know who he was until the Bill Nye thing.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, I knew who he was. He's pretty famous locally for being that crazy evangelist guy who we exported to crazy evangelist land.
He's no
thanks
better
for
than
that, Chirbo.
Plus, you're embarrassed for him the way like us Canadians are embarrassed for Justin Bieber or something like that.
Yes.
I'm noticing this terrible trend that both of you guys' countries are sending your crazies and your rejects here.
But you guys keep taking them.
Yeah,
hey, man. We have
Mel Gibson
at the
doesn't
base
count.
Of the Statue of Liberty, there's a plaque that says that we have to.
I think we need some remodeling
done. I maintain that Mel Gibson doesn't count because he's from New York. He just lived here for a while.
We need. You know what? I think that I'd like to think that plaque was a practical joke played on us by the French.
Very possible.
We actually just watched Roman Polanski's Frantic recently for class, and there was a whole bunch of stuff about like French Statues of Liberties and the hypocrisy of America versus France or some shit like that. It was great.
I saw that in the theaters.
Yeah.
When it came out. That was I don't want to say it was a good movie, but it was an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's better than people give it credit for, at least. But not to drag the conversation off track from The Big Bang, but still.
What?
For some reason, this country just fucking loves Roman Polanski, but, you know, I don't know.
But anyway,
he's an interesting filmmaker, an interesting person, not necessarily a good person.
So anyways, that's a little bit of news. Proof of the Big Bang. 5 sigma over, I think it was -2. I think that's what it was. I think that was a little bit of a little quote that was in there. But yeah, really good. They've detected signals of the Big Bang, basically the cosmic shockwaves of it. So that's pretty awesome. Moving along.
Awesome.
Kind of moving on along here. So there are advertisements out there which obviously, I mean, if you have a cable and you have a DVR, you have a propensity to fast forward past advertisements. We try to run our web browsers with ad blocks, so we see as few of them as possible. But
JavaScript blockers.
JavaScript blockers. However, in my switch to Windows 8 and trying to figure out which browser I want to stay with, I've gone quite a while with no ad block, which means I've been seeing quite a few advertisements, particularly on YouTube, where I spend most of my inefficient time. And I've been actually seeing some ads that are really interesting and really entertaining. And that brings us on to a very interesting question. Advertisements that you don't mind watching. I mean, do you guys see ads that you actually, you know, you're either fast forwarding through your cable system or you're, you know, you're looking or it pops up on YouTube like, oh, hey, wait a minute, this is pretty neat.
The insurance old ladies, the lady who puts the pictures on her wall and says, "I unfriend you." I could watch that all day long.
The link I sent all of you guys, the poopery ad, I just thought it started playing and I couldn't stop watching it. It was just too funny.
That is a good one. I respect a good ad. There's creative people who work on those things, like any filmed entertainment, really. I think the what constitutes a good ad really is just the sense that a human worked on it and not just some corporate machine.
Yeah.
I'll
like
be
there was
the...
something behind it other than charts and target groups. I don't know.
I'll be the odd man out and say that I really don't see advertisements almost at all.
Oh no. Like, oh no, you do. The average person sees 500 to 1,000 ads every day.
The average person.
Yes.
You assume that our friend Nelson is average.
I see about 10 to 20 ads on the subway, like the banners in the stations and on the train itself. I'll see maybe walking down the street, I'll see 10 or so ads. That is the only advertising I see. But
you see a lot more advertisement than
that.
Yeah,
you do.
I'm not sure I do.
Every Starbucks coffee cup you see. Every hot dog vendor on the street. Every food truck. Every store window.
He averts his eyes.
See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
The thing about New York is when you're walking down the street, you're fixated. You're like about to go to work and haven't had coffee yet. So you're basically looking straight ahead with a 1,000-yard stare until you get to the office.
You developed that no ad or that ad blocker for Google Glass, which is, takes care of it in the real world.
One thing that's interesting, so the website OkCupid, they have a thing where if you're using AdBlock, they will show you, instead of an ad, they will show you a little banner that says, hey, it looks like you're using AdBlock, you know, we make money from ads because we run a free service, and this nice little short message saying like, oh, you know, how about this? You pay us $5 and you don't see ads ever, and, you know, we'll never bother you and we'll be really happy. And then the click, the button to click says, sounds fair. That is a good advertisement.
I don't know. I'm not really a fan of those little messages so much. I mean, I understand them and I like the intent behind them, but it always seems to come across as a form of guilting when I read those messages.
Well, because it is.
And I only really pay attention to them when it's like, not like a faceless site or something putting them forward. Like, I'll listen to it if, say, it's, I don't know, like a video creator or something that I like saying, like, hey, I'm creating my videos, but a lot
sponsor
of people have the ads turned
on
during them. Could you do me a favor and turn the ads off when you watch my videos? And I was like, okay, sure.
Sponsoring SciShow on Subbable or things like that. Or
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, no, I'd like to support more things on Subbable or Patreon or something. I just need to be making them monies.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, we have friends now who actually have shows with ads in them, like Luke Burge does Audible ads.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Atomic Trivia War at least used to have ads for other shows in the network, even though they're not really getting paid for that.
I have ads in my Thing of the Day videos.
Yeah.
Really?
I run the YouTube lower third ad thing, so...
That's almost kind of encouraging to hear that Audible is still doing podcast ads, because that seemed to be like a thing back in the day, to like spot the Audible ad in every podcast I listened to.
I think if it wasn't for Audible and Squarespace, basically the podcasting fucking industry would not exist, because they seem to sponsor fucking everyone.
The only one they haven't yet is Night Vale, and that's because it's self-sustaining.
Yeah, Night Vale.
I have something like... Oh, I have something like 70 different podcasts that update at various times on my list, just so that I've always got something to listen to. And I'd say probably a good 30 or 40 of them have Audible ads.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing.
Or Squarespace ads, for that matter.
I listen primarily to NPR podcasts, so only like once every 4 or 5 of them there's an actual ad in there. And technically it is not an ad. It's not an advertisement. It is a sponsorship message. So,
well, Victor, you know that NPR is sponsored primarily through small donations, and we hate doing these kind of sponsorships.
But you know, it's just so important because these kind of services help keep a sense of education and intelligence in the community alive. So we'd really appreciate it if you just took a little bit of time out of your day and go ahead and subscribe to maybe a $5 a month donation to your local NPR member station, just to help bring the sense of education to the community and help keep it alive.
You'll get a tote bag.
A tote bag.
Actually,
NPR tote bag.
when I was a kid, NPR was doing a thing like that. I want to say this was when I was maybe 10 or so, and the game Riven...
3 years ago.
The game Riven had just come out, which was the sequel to Myst. Mm-hmm. And NPR... was giving them away for, you know, the sponsor things. And I don't know why exactly, but my mom was like, I'm going to sponsor NPR this month and, you know, give them $5 or whatever. And I got the game Riven, and then I became a gamer.
So and there are certainly ads that you don't mind watching. In fact, I can name two companies that have an ad that Victor... has not only watched regularly, but enjoys watching and has sought out when the next ad comes out.
It's about My Little Pony, isn't it?
No, actually, surprisingly.
I can't imagine what that might be. What is it? What have I
Monster
done?
And DC Shoes.
Oh, yes, of course. The
Gymkhana's Gymkhana, 1-6.
1-6, yep. Yep.
They are basically a massive ad for Monster Energy Drink, DC Shoes, Ford cars, because I think he drives a Ford Focus ST.
Yeah, yep.
And also Gymkhana the Sport, but that's more just a generalized promotion. Not
and actually,
thing.
On that, I went recently and I went to the... I saw like a little mini Gymkhana car doing little mini Gymkhana stuff, and I looked at it, I was like, oh, Traxxas now sells miniature Gymkhana cars that are like 1/18 scale, and they're four-wheel drive, and they do all that business. So I was like, this is shiny.
This is actually just making me think, actually. Sorry, this is a little off topic, I think. But this is just making me think that probably the best ad I've seen recently in that case would probably be the Lego Movie. it brings up an interesting question. Like, where do you draw the line between entertainment and advertisement in this day and age nowadays?
Is there a distinction? I mean, there's a term in the television world called T360, where when you go to pitch a pilot to a studio, you not only give them the premise, you give them six scripts, but you also give them the entire profit integration, t-shirt plans, toy integrations, video game plans like that. And it's this entire package that you're approaching, like, here's the entertainment and here's a way to make money off of it in addition to the advertising that's rolling in the commercial pods with the show. So there may not be a distinction anymore for majority of entertainment medias. So
yeah, and I don't know how to feel about that, because like I said before, I think there is creative talent to be found in the advertising field, whether it's more on the entertainment side or more on the advertisement side, but it's still so insidious in many ways, and I just, I don't know.
Why is it insidious, though?
It feels like a slow, creepy takeover of everything. That's the basest feeling I can get out of it.
All they want you to do is buy the product. If they could get away with
That's all we want. That's all right. We want. All you have to do is say yes.
That's right. And they would do whatever amoral thing they could or illegal thing they could if it weren't amoral or illegal and then result in fallout. They don't care. They just want you to buy the product. So yeah. It's almost just a happy accident that it's entertaining.
Yeah. Television,
We tried scalding them with oil and that did not increase sales. Now let's try making them laugh.
Except of oil.
Television networks, and this has been something that's been hammered into my head for the past 4 years of my education. Television networks' customers are not the viewers. It's the advertisers. And anything they can do to make the advertisers more profitable is what they're going to do. So if they say to the advertisers or as an advertising agency, if they say to their clients, look...
What a Starbucks mug.
Yeah. Churva's got a Starbucks. Churva, can you hold that up for us, please? There you go.
Yes, you know, both of the listeners are going to go to Starbucks now, Victor.
You know what? I actually been wanting to go to Starbucks for a while. I just haven't had a chance to pop over and get some.
I think that probably counts as my payback to Starbucks, because this cup has the cup that preceded this has a bit of a history because it was identical. But anyway, basically, I was super poor living in England in a share house. I had absolutely no stoneware of any kind, so I couldn't have tea, no mugs or anything. So I went out to Starbucks, used like my last couple of pounds that I had on me that day to buy a 20-ounce muddy coffee, like just drink in. Vintage. And I finished my coffee and just swiped the mug.
Why do all Australian stories involve stealing? It's almost as though you guys were a penal colony at once or something. Is that a hackneyed joke?
It's a bit overdone. It's a bit overdone, Thane.
It was heavy-handed. I plead the flu.
No, it's okay. It's almost entirely true. Except, I mean, admittedly, my ancestors were not convicts. It was something entirely more common and much worse. My ancestors were Irish.
And wasn't your grandmother an undertaker?
Yes, my grandmother is the undertaker.
That's awesome.
See her at the upcoming SummerSlam.
a bit of a recommendation for all the happy viewers out there. As you're going about your day, keep a keen eye about you and try to keep count of how many advertisements you see throughout the day. And maybe that'll make you a little bit more interested in how much ads you're subjected to during a course and, yes. You know, alter your behavior or not, depending.
And when this mentally tires you out from all this effort, pick yourself up a nice refreshing can of V.
And if you're in the North, and if you're in, happen to be in the Northridge area, stop by the Freudian Sip at CSU Northridge and try one of their Irish caramel bombs.
And make sure you get plenty of street passes.
If you're in the neighborhood, maybe stop by
the local
Asian market for a nice box of Pocky.
And after that, I highly recommend using some Johnson & Johnson brand floss.
And next time you're going out, for a haircut, try to pick up some Paul Mitchell hair care products.
And if you really want to look your best, you definitely want to use Kiwi shoe polish.
And when you're going to shine your shoes and you find your shoes are not quite up to par, pick up a couple of pairs at Payless, where they're having their buy one, get one half off sale.
Are they actually having a sale?
Jesus.
Is that an actual thing?
I think we've just kept this podcast afloat for the next 10 years.
Seriously.
Consume.
Consume.
If only we were actually getting paid for it.
That'd be nice. Right. Actually, no, we probably wouldn't take sponsorship unless it was something that we use ourselves and could personally recommend.
Yeah.
I would take $2 billion worth of sponsorship.
I would.
Goddamn right, I would.
Right. Although I do actually do personally recommend the Irish caramel bombs at the Freudian Sip. They are really freaking good.
Oh, man. You're making me miss, like, the chocolate bombs that they used to make at one of my workplaces. Ugh, now I'm hungry.
So let us move on. How long have we been going? Let me see. Oh, wow, we've been at this a little bit. One thing I've been, actually, this came up in the news kind of recently. Titanfall, big game, looks awesome. Wish I had it so I could play it.
It's mad fun.
Oh, it just looks so awesome. But Microsoft has implemented a really interesting anti-cheat system. If you are a PC gamer, you are very well aware of how cheat systems can affect your gameplay. If you're a dick and you cheat, it will kick you out of the game and keep you from joining servers that are, you know, part of like tournaments and things like that, or else just punish you in a more egregious manner depending on how badly you do cheat. But the new cheat system for Titanfall has a pretty interesting way of dealing with cheaters. Rather than completely banning them from multiplayer play, they confine them to their own little pit of cheatiness.
So cheater hell, basically?
Cheater hell, where it's all cheaters versus each other. Polygon has an article about it, and they're saying that, I think it was, they have it in quotes, I believe it may be Microsoft that has called it as such, but it's called the Wimbledon of aimbot contests. Which I think is just a brilliant name for it.
You can tell I haven't read the article.
Yeah, I mean, I've not read this specific article, but I read another article that has dealt with it, and I thought it was just kind of be interesting to talk about. I mean, obviously none of us have ever been punished for cheating in a video game.
I don't know about you.
Actually,
guys.
No, I really haven't.
Okay, good. Yeah, neither have I.
One of the cool things,
except Mario Kart on N64. So, but that was about it.
One of the cool things I read about the Titanfall anti-cheat system is that non-cheating players who are in a group with the cheating player are shunted into the cheater ghetto, which makes a really cool social dynamic where you can like join a group with a cheating player to tour the Cheatville. And then, you know, when you're done touring the Cheatville, just ungroup and go back to regular town.
See, that'd be interesting.
It's like taking a little tour through the ghetto.
I can see story potential in that, like just basically taking a tour through the fucking cheating ghetto and just see what it's like to talk to people while you're in the cheating ghetto. Because I'm pretty sure I could find a player who has cheated and is in the ghetto to play Titanfall with for a little while.
Dispatches from the front.
Yes. Dispatches from the Great Aimbot War of 2014.
But cheating in video game has a very long and, dare I say, illustrious history. Going all the way back to things like Game Genie and Game Shark and things like that.
I had one of those.
I have played Sonic 3 as Super Sonic the entire game once, and it was real. I think that's the best way to play Sonic 3.
I think the first game I ever played cheats with was Spiral 1 or 2, and it was it was like a revelation at the time.
GoldenEye with Big Head Mode.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could beat Super Mario back on the NES was with the Game Genie.
Like endless power-ups, Big Head, stuff like that, yeah.
The very first game I cheated in was Commander Keen, and I just gave myself a whole ton of lives. That was it.
I've never played Commander Keen.
I still
didn't
finish the game.
I used to hack Baldur's Gate.
You can play Keen on Steam.
But that wasn't multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's not multiplayer, I don't really care about cheating that much. If someone wants to cheat, fucking whatever.
Yeah. I mean, multiplayer, I mean, if everybody is cheating in multiplayer, then it's okay. But, you know.
Well, it's not okay, but it is funny.
Well, I mean, it's relatively okay.
So what do you call that in real life? The Olympics?
Oh!
Major actually, League Baseball.
I call that racing against Team Ferrari.
Actually, so some people have gotten together to start the first annual augmented Olympics.
They're
calling it, but basically it is a no-holds-barred, you know, post-human kind of... they've got like a brain computer interface race, an exoskeleton race, powered wheelchair race, and things like that.
Yeah,
but it's not drugs. It's just machines.
Technology.
But, you know, just get on a motorcycle.
Yeah, the first the first cybathlon in Olympics for bionic athletes will take place in Switzerland in October 2016.
Dude,
right.
I think they don't actually have many rules against, like, drugs.
As long as
it's consensual. As long as it's, like...
I think it's just machines.
Supervised by a medical professional or something like that.
How's this? A racing wheelchair with a Hayabusa engine strapped to the back.
Oh, snap. Well, there is going to be...
Play like a Mario Kart game.
There is going to be a wheelchair race.
Just get a Saturn V... A Saturn V.
Oh, God.
Put some wheels on it, put a seat, and put a big red button.
I think that's the Kerbal Space Program event.
Yes.
My very first launch in Kerbal Space Program. I made it into space, but note I'm very pointedly not saying into orbit because I basically just launched straight up with the biggest rocket and the most fuel I possibly could. Ended up like getting out of Atmo, my fuel sputtered out, and it's just kept going, and I'm like, can I adjust this in any way? Well, I've got no fuel. No. Oh, well. Godspeed, Jeb Kerman. We'll see you again in a couple of thousand years.
I think that, and in continuing on the Olympics side of it, I mean, I just think that cheating in the Olympics. I don't know. I mean, there's a ton of debauchery going on in the Olympics, anyways.
There's a bit of cheating.
Yeah.
Let me
say that again. There's a bit of cheating that's been caught at every single Olympics.
Yeah. Although now, Sochi is apparently completely abandoned. Big surprise.
I'm not surprised.
Big surprise, right?
When everybody went up to Crimea, you know, instead, is that the new focus? Yeah.
Good work with the Olympics. Here's a rifle. Go.
And this is why the internet is awful, because I can't think of Crimea now without that stupid, like, Moe Crimean foreign defense minister or something like
that.
Oh, yeah,
that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's gotten a lot of play.
Damn you, internet, for making serious conflicts not so serious.
That even got into my world. That was crazy. And I don't look for that stuff.
The best one I've seen is like one where during the interview, she picks up her phone and looks at it, then like looks back up at the camera and gets a bit of a look on her face, and then like puts her phone back down and continues. And I've seen one of the internet web, on the internet rather, where she picks up her phone and looks at it, and then it just switches to a view from her viewpoint of her phone. It's just a Snapchat of, like, shirtless Putin saying, hey, baby, it's free later tonight.
Apparently, people are calling the anime version of Natalia Poklonskaya. Natalia Poklonskaya here. I'm pretty sure I got it right that time. I got it right. I think I got it right that time. But they're calling her Prosecutie.
Oh, God.
That's both Natalie insulting Portman's and adorable, and I
yeah.
I kind of love hate it.
Yeah. She's the prosecutor of the new Crimean Republic. So
she looks like an anime character, so it's just ideal for
oh,
all
no.
this.
There it is. There you go. You can actually look at a picture of her side by side with the with an anime version of her.
Yeah.
I hope Putin Senpai will notice me.
You know what's really weird?
What?
Not only is this article on ABC News, it also doesn't have any like explanation of what anime is. It's just kind of assumed that you're like, oh, yeah.
Anime.
Yeah, anime. That's kind of cool.
Hold on. Oh, actually,
it's clearly because Cool Japan has worked, you guys, clearly.
Oh, wow, there is... Hold on. If you do a Google image search for Crimea attorney, you'll get, like, lots of really interesting anime renditions.
Do I want to make a Google image search?
Well,
no,
it's to various... It's to various degrees of adorableness.
Safe search on.
Can I make safe search, like, do it twice? Just, like, be double on?
Yeah. Of course yeah. There's a pony on the first page of results.
I don't... What?
What the hell?
What?
There's a pony version of her on the first page of the Google image search.
Where?
What a world.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Victor's
I see
like,
it.
Blink, please.
No.
Blink, please.
Hang on.
No,
I'm
just... Oh, unsurprisingly, there's a drawing of her in lingerie.
Yep. Third image. You put the cute in prosecute. Thanks, internet.
I don't know. I mean, this is really...
10 images on Kim Jong-un on the phone to Putin. Hello, bro Putin. I heard you have a new waifu. Is that right?
Oh.
What?
I just think it's... I mean,
don't have phones in Korea.
On the one hand, I'm just like the poor woman. But on the other hand, it's like, this is awesome.
The weird things the internet latches onto, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Actually, to skip back about 8 topics and 3 prosecutors, there's actually an interesting new thing with anti-cheat systems that's coming up through a game called Payday, well, specifically Payday 2. Namely, that people are getting really pissed off about cheaters in that game, except it's a cooperative game. Someone else's cheating can only affect you by making the game too easy to play. And yet people are super angry about cheaters in that game.
I would be pissed off.
I mean, I think here's the thing. I'm kind of I'm of two minds of cheating. If, for example, on a single player game, you have already completed the game and now you're just going through it just for kicks cuz it's fun. Ah hell, whatever. Turn on the cheats. I have beaten Dirt 2 front ways and sideways and every way you can, you know, be I have achieved 100% completion on Dirt 2. And now I've turned on like cheats that lets me, you know, drive, you know, cars with like 100% perfect traction on the tracks and it's ridiculous and it's crazy and it's fun.
That's just OCD, Victor.
Right, and it's, yeah, it is. But it's just, you know, it's weird. Dirt 3, I have a cheat that lets me drive any car on any track. I can drive a Mini Cooper on a, you know, trailblazing track, and it's now just a nice little fun country drive. But to make the game easier, I mean, there are different levels of difficulties in games, but to make the game easier to the point that it's no long that inherent challenge of the game is no longer there, I think that's kind of wrong. And yeah, people play games with different utilities, but still. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it kind of depends on whether you're forcing it on someone or not.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do that yourself and just have happy fun time simulation with no challenge, whatever, fine, whatever. But if that's not what the other people in the group want, then screw you.
So cheating in games is just like the legalization of drugs, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. My little brother, he's really big into video games, unsurprisingly, and he wanted to play Metroid Prime, and we have our Metroid Prime disc backed up onto a hard drive, which means we can, you know, enable a certain amount of cheats, and he wants me to let him enable cheats on. I'm like, no, beat the game first, and then play it. It's no having invulnerability throughout the entire game.
You told him she's a girl, right?
What?
In Metroid?
Oh, yeah, in Metroid Prime. It's Metroid Prime that's front row and center. It's not even, no surprise there. So.
Yeah, no, invincibility throughout the whole game should be something you should experience in contrast to having beat the regular game, because that's what makes it better in the first place.
The challenge.
And then there's also times where, like, cheats will just destroy the game for you, even in single player.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
There's a DLC / cheat, which is basically an unlock all the cars pack. And you get, like, I got that because I bought a Game of the Year edition, and that came with it. The only problem was that removes all point to playing the game.
Right.
Because you can just have the fastest, craziest car from the very start just blaze through the races without any challenge whatsoever, and you don't get any reward whatsoever either.
No. Right, there's that kind of cheat, and then there's something like, you know, for that game, that Victor would want the Rainbow Dash skins. It doesn't affect gameplay per se. It's more of an aesthetic.
Faye, do you just assume I spend my entire life, all every waking hour, just obsessing about ponies?
It's all I got tonight. It's all I got.
Well, it's not that it's inaccurate. Back to it. Just...
Oi.
It's the best I've got. I got to give up. Just give it a rest. It wasn't funny the first time.
Oh, no, it was.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Aren't you already?
No, I mean, like, you know, with the...
Don't puke on camera.
Fluids, yeah.
I can't decide if that would help or hinder viewership. If
I don't know.
Illness through Google Glass.
Yes, it depends on what you're into, right? What's the Rule 32 or
Rule
something?
34.
Rule 34.
I don't want Thade Rule 34.
FNPL Rule 34, oh god.
No one
you
wants
could say that. I'm more amicable.
Alright, well that about exhausts our topics for the evening. We've got 7 minutes until the hour mark. We've all got plugs, so let's make them. Chirba, have you got a plug? Have you not got a plug? We do this
Hold
every
on,
episode,
one.
Man. Come on. Aaron, I know you have a plug.
Yes, I do. I have a new series starting on YouTube tomorrow, basically. So if you're into the Pokemans, my channel is... the name of the channel is Aaron Cerise, but the URL is youtube.com/strawberrykey, all one word. So if you like Pokemon and you like the Nuzlocke challenge, if you know what that means, go ahead, check it out.
Also, me and Aaron have done a video together, which I'm still trying to coerce my computer into rendering so I can send her my half of it, and that'll go up when it goes up. So keep an eye out. There'll be a link on my YouTube channel to that, and that'll be fun.
We're still trying to figure out how that'll all go up, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
My computer, it's an hour long video, and I have to basically set my computer to render it all overnight, and it's been having hiccups, which don't
The point
bode
of this
well.
Video be basically being Victor sucks at Pokemon.
I do. I really do.
So if you want to watch Victor fail at Pokemon for an hour, then that's the one to watch.
I'm sure many of the it's Friday Night Party Line viewers would love to watch that. Nelson, have you a plug?
The only thing I have to plug is taxes.
Oh, it's about that time.
Because it's time to do your taxes if you haven't already.
My taxes are already
that
done.
That is what I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Here in America. I don't know what they do elsewhere.
Probably actually Sunday.
I already did my taxes, so.
That's not a big issue.
Thade, have you anything to plug?
Just this hoodie, which is an Eddie Bauer hoodie with fleece on the inside.
Wow, warm
Eddie
and cozy.
Bauer makes the best hoodies.
Chirba, have you found something to plug yet?
Yes, actually. I found it's, well, An Imago gallery is where the link goes, but it is actually a gallery full of GIFs with links attached.
Uh-huh.
And these links will direct you to 23 retro games that you can play in your browser, from Duke Nukem 3D, NBA Jam, Prince of Persia, Mega Man X, Mortal Kombat 2, Speedball, Earthworm Jim, Alone in the Dark, Aladdin, the original Star Fox, all sorts of mad shit like that. You can just play it in your browser, and it is good. I spent probably about 4 hours last night when I should have been either working or sleeping, just fucking playing Battletoads.
Can't wait till Battletoads the new Battletoads comes out. Bad old internet joke.
Yes.
Bad. And I have one thing to plug. So every weekday I try to do it every weekday. School has been kind of cutting in on that recently. But every weekday I attempt to put out a video where I show you, our happy audience, something cool or interesting every weekday. It's called Thing of the Day. And today's Thing of the Day is a very touching, it's a very touching video. Too often in our lives we take for granted the things that are always there, and what is more fundamental to take advantage of than our human senses, our sense of sight, smell, sound, touch, and all the rest of the, senses. The one in particular that this Thing of the Day is about our sense of hearing. The Thing of the Day is a video about a person who has had no hearing their entire life due to a disease, and this video captures their first moments of having their cochlear implants activated, and it's just a really interesting video. You get to see how this person reacts, and it kind of brings to light how we take advantage of this very fundamental thing that we believe holds us together as a species. And it's a really good video, so you guys should all check that out.
Also, cochlear implants, Australian invention.
Yeah.
Wow.
The more
just
you
like
know.
Powered flight. Wright brothers can suck it.
We get credit for like poutine and the Canadarm, and that's like it.
And nice people.
What the hell is a Canadarm?
It's like the arm on the space station.
Right.
Oh yeah. Cool.
And generally nice and friendly people.
No, I'm just imagining the space station.
We didn't invent those,
with, like,
though, I think.
Two really buff arms. Like birds with arms style.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for coming on, for once again coming on to the show. It's been a fantastic episode, and Thade, you know, you're, of course, always welcome on the show. Aaron, you are, how was your first episode? Good?
Horrible. I'm never coming back.
Okay, well, good riddance to you, then. So, anyways, thanks all for listening, and this has been episode 77 of Friday Night Party Line. We'll see you guys later.